that was Needing by Zero Sum, and that is off the album Toxic Bloom. And I'm here with Zero Sum on Press Start to Continue. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Really excited to be here.
Yeah, we've been talking about having you on for like a few months, so it's really awesome that we're able to get this together. So Toxic Bloom came out on December 25th, right?
Yeah.
So what is there a reason why you had it come out on Christmas Day? Is there any specific reason?
Yeah, so this whole album, it's a concept piece sort of chronicling an emotional journey through a really bad breakup that started on the 25th of the previous year. So I wanted to just take a year and really work and process through all of that and put it to music. And I thought having it start and release on the same date a year apart was just kind of really meeting that goal and that image in my head that I had for creating that passage of time.
Right. And so the album is about the breakup. So is that... Mm-hmm. How does Toxic Bloom, like the title, relate to that?
So a lot of thought went into naming this, and you know, the relationship started out like, if I picture my head kind of as this like beautiful flower, it's called the hellebore. It's sort of like a primrose, but it's incredibly poisonous, and it sort of started out in this budding form, and it looked like it could be this beautiful thing, and as it came into fruition, it inevitably ended up being a really toxic, unhealthy dynamic that I'm really grateful to be out of.
Mm-hmm.
So this album is kind of looking at like how something that is beautiful can still be bad for you, and knowing when to leave that and move on, and what to actually like prioritize in a relationship.
So we started out with Needing, and that is the first track of the of the album. Do the different tracks, so there's Needing, there's Leaving, Near, Prey, Deliverance, and Toxic Bloom, but is there a reason for those in that order? Like, each track obviously represents part of that, of you processing the relationship. So what is the significance of the order of the tracks?
So I put the tracks in the order that they were chronologically written, and they were named at the time around the concept I was trying to catch. Needing came out and was finished literally 3 days after the breakup.
It only took you three days, huh?
I actually wrote it in a night.
Wow.
Mixed and mastered it the next day. But I, you know, sat on it for a day or two deciding if I was like actually wanting to do this project that I had in mind, and decided that it would probably be a really good therapeutic way for me to deal with something that was very painful. So I put it out on SoundCloud as a preliminary version of it, and you know, it's gone through more mixing and mastering for the album, but yeah, it's meant to capture the way I was feeling that moment of like, while it's still fresh and before I'd really figured out like how much I was grateful to be out of that relationship, while also still grateful for the time I'd had and the good moments there were.
Yeah, in a breakup,
meaning of that person and of that relationship. Sorry to talk over.
No, please. I was just thinking in a breakup, especially like a really an emotional breakup, there is this intense like emotion just after when you're trying to process everything. So it really captures that in some ways like that yearning that people might have, even though you intellectually know that the breakup is going to be a positive thing, there's still that weird tension that you have to deal with. So it really captures that, I think.
Yeah, and there wasn't really a lot of communication about the breakup or what was happening. We just kind of had a fight and then stopped talking. So there's a lot of me also like wanting an explanation. And if you like pick apart the song in terms of music theory, while it sounds like this very happy, hyper energetic piece, it's written in D minor and the chord progressions are very kind of sad and morose. So it's kind of that, like looking at the pain of that, still wanting that person while also trying to be like, oh yeah, but it's a new chapter and I'm moving forward, but yeah. I still need you and I still want you here and I don't understand what's going on.
The that it's funny that you say that, listening to it, you know, it is kind of happy and it has that chiptune sound and everything that usually connotes like a very like bouncy kind of thing, but I was trying to put my finger on it, like something was off. So it's like it being in a minor key, that really makes sense, actually.
Yeah, I do that in a lot of the tracks on this album, and just in general, I really like juxtaposing the high intensity energy and bounciness of things like chiptunes and modern EDM with minor or just darker, jazzier chord progressions you'd find in things like orchestral and emo music.
Yeah,
they're kind of like show that like even in things that are beautiful, there can still be pain. Even in pain, you can find beauty, and it's all about trying to frame it the right way.
So one more thing about the album is, mm-hmm. did you want, when that happened, when after you wrote Needing, mm-hmm. Did you know that that was the start of an album, or did you figure out that that Toxic Bloom was going to happen, like, you know, way after, or and then you started working on an album in earnest? Like, was Needing just something to release that emotion, or did you know that that was the start of an album?
Needing was really to release that emotion. I honestly don't remember writing a lot of it. I was sort of in a fugue state and wrote for like 17 hours straight.
Wow.
And, you know, I put it out and was like, you know, I'll do a couple pieces on this because this is how I process things in general. Almost all of my music, unless it's straight up just for the floor hyper house with little content lyrically, or like if it's this generic house, it's more just party music. But
yeah,
everything else is sort of a way of me doing music therapy and processing through my emotions. And I was like, yeah, I'll do like 1 to 3 pieces of singles about this. And it wasn't until around Deliverance that I went, wow, I've written a lot about this, and there's been a lot of progression through it emotionally and in terms of, you know, the sound that I have for myself, and I really want to make this into a full concept album.
So let's talk about like your process in general. I mean, mm-hmm. there's that fugue state that you were talking about. I'm assuming that is not the normal way that you write music.
No.
How do you approach it? Like if you're trying to, you have an idea for a song, like how do you first tackle the coalescing that into a like a proper song?
So it's about a 50-50 split between two ways. The first way is I like have an artist I'm just obsessing over and I want to sound like them. So I'll listen to every track in the discography about 30 times each and pick out the best elements, dissect that, and put something together myself. Not on this album, but released within the same year is this track Wild Out, where I listened to this artist called Joyride over and over again. I really loved his speed garage sound, and I was just like, how do I take every best aspect of that and put it into one track?
Yeah.
And then the other way, I'm just having a really emotional day, whether it's good or bad, and I'm like, I have to express it somehow. And it usually starts out as basic chords on a piano and a drum groove, and I just build from there. And I'll go through and I'll just kind of write it, and there'll be moments where I'm like, oh, this doesn't work, this doesn't convey the right thing, and I'll delete and go back. Or sometimes I'll just go, yeah, my emotion changed as I went, and I'll let the emotion of the piece change with that.
So do you think like with a track like Near, that's on Toxic Bloom, that is like mm-hmm. a 10-minute song, would that, if you're writing a song at that length, do you think mm-hmm. that we'd be able to hear how you felt at the beginning and how you felt at the end, how it shifts through the song?
Sometimes I would say Near's in particular a weird piece for me, because I started out, actually, I recreated a sound from an artist I really like and went, I want to do something with this, and had this poetry piece I'd been working on for a different track that was really supposed to be on the album, which is the lyrics that you hear, and I wanted to couple that. So I think if you listen to Near closely, what you'll hear is a little bit of an homage to Habstract and Zomboy, but a lot more of a spoken word piece that's been set to and pitched to an evolving orchestral piece that I wove in and out of itself to kind of create. At the moment I was writing that, a lot of what I was doing to cope when I wasn't writing music was going to raves by myself and trying to make new friends and new memories to music, because something that had been big in our relationship was going to dance parties and listening to dance music, writing dance music together, and trying to make new memories around it. So it's kind of more this idea of like dancing by yourself at a party, kind of feeling really sad, but trying to have a good time.
Making new memories to not replace, but to push away the old ones. Like, at the front of your mind. Which is really anybody going through like a breakup listening to this. It's a good idea. Trying to find new people to hang out with and thinking about new things that you can do with your life. So switching gears from that. Zero Sum. Where did that come from?
So this is a bit of a joke about my dead name. For anyone who doesn't know, I'm a trans woman and I currently go by Kaya. I won't say my dead name, but it in Latin translates to zero. So I used to perform under the name Zero because of that. And when I came out, I kind of wanted to rebrand a little bit and move away from just that pun. And Zero Sum philosophy is the idea that there is first place and failure. And you know, I'm not one of those people's like, I have to be the very best, but it's sort of this inside joke to remind myself to keep moving forward and trying to be the best I can and keep working at it, even when music is feeling really hard, when I'm having writer's block and nothing is coming out the way I want it to just like keep focusing on it and working at it so that I can be the best that I can be.
I actually didn't know that you were trans. So I was wondering that being trans and you know being just being a woman in this style of music, has that affected you in any way? I know usually when artists come on, like if they're women or if they're black, I ask if that has affected your journey in music creation or getting gigs or performing. Have you ever felt like that? Or
yeah, hugely. Before I came out, I had a lot more events. I did a lot of underground raves and shows. I threw out a lot of stuff and people, you know, would show up even if the people playing were unknown. When I came out, I basically had to one entirely re-network, because a lot of people I had networked with for that sort of thing were not trans friendly. And two, it was just like suddenly people that had taken my music seriously before just were like, oh, but like, you know, it's not really this. So I dealt with some of that, and I've been very lucky. I'm gonna shout out one of my friends, because I met this girl named Jeannie on Instagram, who I'm a huge fan of and now have become pretty good friends with. And around the time I was writing this album, she founded a record collective called Girl Gang. That's a trans-inclusive space for femmes and non-binary people in the music industry, whether they're musicians or managers, promoters, whatever, to network and meet with each other. And honestly, if it weren't for something like that, I don't know where I'd be right now. I spent a lot of time trying to reach out and market myself while still being honest about being a trans girl, and often didn't hear anything back or just got, we're not really interested in your market at the time.
In your market.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've literally gotten emails that are like, wow, this song is really good, but we just don't think that your brand is marketable at this time. And I'm like, wow, my brand is the same as like a lot of other people on your label, except I'm trans.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, naming no names, I have a feeling that that has definitely impacted some of my ability to get into certain organizations.
I didn't really think of how labels would really act around that, you know, especially nowadays. It's
yeah.
It's but we'll put links to Girl Gang and your friend into the show notes for the podcast and on the and on the website, just so everybody can find them. Because that's really, it's really great that they started that a group like that, like something that's that inclusive and that and can really bring that positivity. All right, so let's listen to another track. This is Deliverance. So did you want to say anything going into this?
Just I hope you enjoy, and I hope you enjoy the emotional journey on this one. It definitely has a couple different moods in it, and I'll talk more about it after.
Right, so this is Deliverance by Zero Sum, and we are talking on Press Start to Continue. Thank you. that was Deliverance by Zero Sum. And I have Zero Sum on the show on Press Start to Continue. Welcome.
Hey, if you haven't been listening yet, I'm happy to have you here now. And if you have, thank you for staying with us.
So that was Deliverance. Can you tell us about Deliverance there?
So Deliverance is a piece, I talked a little bit about this earlier in the show, but just to catch anyone who wasn't there up, this album is processing through a really rough breakup coming off of a very toxic relationship I was in. And Deliverance hit the point where I kind of stopped wanting to get back with my ex and missing her.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, you know what? I'm going to do my thing. You do your own thing. It actually started out entirely as the vocal line that you hear, which is just repeatedly over and over again, do your thing.
Yeah.
And really came together as that piece of like, you know what, I've moved on and I hope you're moving on too. I know we're not talking, but like, I hope you're moving forward with your life. I still care about you, but I have no desire to go back with you. And I'm finally feeling free of like the ghost of you.
Yeah.
And as you're listening to it, you know, it has that start and it's this really melodic piece with large orchestral elements, especially in the drums, that slowly progresses towards a darker sound. And part of that's just, I got into a darker sound at the time and wanted to incorporate that. But part of that was, as I was thinking about it and feeling this, I was also a little angry about the lack of communication and closure we'd had in ending our relationship, and was like, do your own thing, but like, I'm upset that you didn't release me sooner to do my own thing and kept me like on waiting around to find out like what was going on.
Do your own thing, but the hell.
Yeah.
Okay. that really comes through on that. And that was the second to last track on the album. So that was, and since those are, it's in chronological order, that mm-hmm. kind of, that you finished that just like 6 months ago or something, or
so I just writing Deliverance around and mixing and mastering everything with it around 12/19 of 2019.
Oh wow.
So I finished that like right before the deadline for my album.
Yeah. So the final track, Toxic Bloom, was right there, huh?
Yeah. And I started writing Deliverance probably 2 months before that. So I started writing Deliverance around October.
Mm-hmm.
And it took so long because there were a lot of technical things I really wanted to nail down in that track. Because the very first draft I put out of it just wasn't capturing the emotion correctly or really carrying it through and conveying what I wanted it to. So I went back and like retooled that at least 30 times.
Wow.
And even like took some online courses on how to do orchestral scoring so that I could really nail what I wanted to with the drums and with the movement.
Yeah. What draws you to that more orchestral sound in some of your tracks?
So I have been playing music since I was 4. I started out with orchestral percussion, then learned classical and lounge piano, and then played viola all the way up until college in the orchestra, and then kept playing classical and jazz piano in college. So this kind of music has always been a very big part of my life. I make dance music, but I really have a large appreciation for orchestral and cinematic music and feel like it's sometimes better for storytelling than electronic music is. So I like to bring that in if I don't have a lot of words telling the story to try and convey emotion better.
Yeah. So when did you make the jump to dance music from orchestral, jazz and all that, like viola to EDM? Like that's a bit different.
Tell you the year. I honestly don't remember what year it was, but somewhere between 8th and 9th grade, frankly, it's not a pleasant story. I had a very close friend who killed herself, and I'm the one who found the body and was dealing with all that. My guidance counselor is like, you're a musician, you write music. Why don't you write music about this to help you process and not, you know, fail your freshman year of high school?
Yeah, that's a smart person.
So I started doing that and was just like, yeah, but I can't play an orchestral piece by myself, and this is so personal. I don't want anyone else playing it because I'm going to be perfectionist about it. So I started working in GarageBand. And I'd messed around with GarageBand a little bit before that, like in seventh grade, and made some really, really awful trance tunes. Just unlistenable. Like, I go back to show friends of mine, like, who are like, oh, I'm so bad, I'm just starting out. I'm like, no, you hear what I used to sound like 13 years later.
Oh, no.
And they're like, oh, wow, okay, yeah, I just need to put in more time. It was bad. So high school was when I started getting more seriously into it. And then after that, I'd been in this punk grindcore band for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we broke up because of artistic differences, and I just got tired of working with other people. And a lot of people I worked with, I was the only one in the band who was really committed to practicing every time we met and trying to write new music. And other people just sort of wanted to, you know, mess around and have a good time. And that's fine, but that's not what I wanted.
Yeah.
I got really into electronic production at that time as a way of like, all right, then I'll be my own band.
that's one of the cool things about music nowadays. Like, you can... Mm-hmm. You can mix, you can master, you can play all these different instruments on your own, so you can tweak and you can be a perfectionist and still come out without, like, pissing anybody off.
Yeah, very, very, very real there. My girlfriend keeps asking if she can sing on a track for me, and I keep being like, no. Not because I don't love you, but because I love you and I'm a perfectionist and you don't want to work with me.
Have you worked with anybody else, like, regularly in your music, or that can handle your perfectionism?
Yeah, I work with other perfectionists a lot, and we get each other, so we don't get upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually got a piece probably coming out around the 22nd that I'm exchanging stems back and forth with another member of Girl Gang who's in California, and we're both hella perfectionists. So we're just like, okay, this is great, but it could be better here and here. I'm like, okay, then you do that. And I'm like, okay, this could be better here and here. She's like, all right, you do that since you know. And
mm-hmm.
I also have a friend I've had since high school who, like, is just starting to release actual music. He's made music memes for a long time.
Music memes?
Yeah, so like chopping up Dr. Phil and making a drum and bass track out of that. or he likes to do stuff like, you know, this song except in G major, where you just transpose it to the root note being on G and then leave everything else there.
Okay, clearly we're going to have to listen to some of that.
Yeah, he's a weird dude, but we're working together, and he's also a perfectionist when it comes to music. That's part of why he has only released memes, because since they're jokes, they don't have to be perfect.
Right.
And I've been mentoring him for like 4 or 5 years now, and we like to work together. I have a few vocalists I work with a lot that we have upcoming pieces, because they are also perfectionists. So when I find someone else who, like, demands perfection of themselves, it's a lot easier to work together, because we're both just like, this is going to be the very best we can possibly make it at this time, and nothing else will be acceptable.
That's excellent. Well, we have one more track that I'd like to talk about before we go out. Can you tell me about that?
All right. So this is a bonus track. If you want to have the music as your own to, like, keep and take wherever you want and not be tied to the internet for streaming, you're going to have to buy the full album. It's called Reflections, and it's kind of this triumphant march with a really happy melody. It's one of the few pieces in the album that's actually written in major.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about my current girlfriend, actually. It was a Christmas gift to her.
the non-perfectionist singer.
Yeah. I love her so much, and I hope she hears this and laughs about it instead of being like, what the hell. But I finally, I'm in a relationship where I finally have someone who's actually meeting me halfway and where I'm not begging for basic signs of affection all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, it's the first relationship I've been in a long time where I could call it really healthy on both ends. And it's kind of this, it was me reflecting, and like I wrote this piece, I think on the 23rd of December of this year.
Wow.
And me reflecting on the whole year and going, you know what, like it was hell going through this breakup, but I'm really, really glad it happened because it meant that I met this amazing person that I'm just so in love with. And I hope, you know, God willing, I get to spend the rest of my life with her because she's just amazing. And this piece is sort of like victory march of like, I've been through all this and I'm with you, so it's worth it.
All right. Well, I think that is a great way to go out. Thank you so much for being on the show and sharing this with us. And sharing, sharing Toxic Bloom with everybody. Because it really is a journey through a lot of emotions. And it can be very, what's a good word? Releasing? Oh, that's not the right
word. Cathartic?
Cathartic, yes. It can be very cathartic. To listen to it. So highly suggest it. And especially definitely get it so you can get reflections. So yeah, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I have been very excited as we've been like talking about getting this to happen and for a chance to like share a little bit more about what it's about.
Yeah. So everybody, the links to Zero Sum's Bandcamp and Twitter and all that will be on starttocontinue.com. Just look for this show. And that's it. So let's listen to Reflections and have a great night.